Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a former refugee helps displaced women to amplify their voices, and the UN promotes women's entrepreneurship in Western Afghanistan. But first, it is vital that more women play a bigger role in UN peacekeeping operations, a veteran forces commander said on Wednesday. Major General Kristin Lund was speaking in Geneva, where she was attending a ceremony to honor more than 3,500 UN peacekeepers who've lost their lives since the first mission in 1948. Investing in human rights training for peace is also key amid much more complex missions, the former UN Cyprus Force Chief told Daniel Johnson.
Since I started early with peacekeeping, already in 1986, I must say that the mandates have become much better. But, you know, when UN has to deal with offensive operations in a way or in countries where there are no peace to keep, it becomes very difficult. There are so many factors, so many elements that play a role in conflicts today, so many actors. So it's so difficult. So sometimes who do you talk to, actually? Who can help to stop the hostilities?
In your long career, you've been to Afghanistan. You started in Lebanon. You've worked with NATO. You've been all around the world, and you're still looking for more postings after your latest assignment, which was as the force commander in Cyprus. What would you say, having looked back at your career now, has been the most dramatic moment?
Yeah, I think that what formed me as a leader in the good and the bad was actually during the Balkans in 92, 93. Because then the mandates were not good. They had to be changed and added. And then you see people getting killed and you cannot do anything about it. And I'm very pleased now to see at least that the mandates are much more robust. But also technology has also developed so much. And I know that UN are looking into that. And I think that technology can help some, but not everything.
And obviously I can't let go by the fact that you are a woman, you are a commander, and there aren't many of you in the UN peacekeeping contingent. So how did you do it? How did you get in? How did you get to the level that you are at? And presumably you'd like to see more women follow in your footsteps.
Absolutely. Especially in certain countries are more pressing than others. My experience from Afghanistan, for example, we had to make sure that the teams got females for house search or other patrols to meet and get the information. And I must say, when we were able to have an interpreter, a female interpreter, we got so much more information that was vital to save their life and our lives.
Maybe we should look at this year's theme for the UN International Peacekeeping Day, the commemoration, and the investment in protecting human rights. Is that something you see more of a need for?
Absolutely. From my beginning to what we do today, it's a huge step forward. For me, as a commander, when I was at Cyprus, I always attended all those lectures when we had kind of incoming personnel to show them the importance of these lectures and that we, as UN, has to apply with international law, code of conduct, and so forth.
Women and girls form the majority of displaced populations, which increases their vulnerability to exploitation, abuse, and violence, according to the International Organization for Migration, IOM. But far from being helpless victims, women and girls have much to contribute in responding to displacement crises, the agency adds. It's a belief shared by Mina Jaff, founder and director of Women Refugee Route, or WRR, an NGO that focuses on women and girl refugees' access to information on their rights. She took part in a recent IOM event at UN headquarters in New York on amplifying women's voices from the displacement global crisis. Mina was herself a refugee. Born in Kurdistan, she and her family were forced to flee to Denmark when she was 11 years old. She starts by telling Maya Yakub about that journey.
I was born during the Kimmel gas attack in Kurdistan, and I was displaced until I was 11. And so we, because of the conflict in the Kurdistan-Iraqian, we fled back and forth between Kurdistan in Iran and Kurdistan in Iraq. So my mom flew 5 days up to the mountain when she was pregnant, and she gave birth to my brother while she was fleeing. And then we flee again.
So she was with a baby, newborn baby,
yeah,
with her?
Yeah. After that, we flee sometime back back and forth between cities and between this two countries. And I mean, how it look like, and looking in a woman perspective and a girl perspective, it's not safe at all. There was not any form of setting around us who had a system who could protect us. I didn't feel there was response, especially now, which I have been addressing, like the Security Council on the sexual violence in conflict. I feel like this talk should be there for much longer. I don't know why we talk about it today just as awareness and not as an implementation, because when I was a child, I was questioning this question, why should I be in this condition and not having the right protection?
Tell us more about your activism. What do you do now? How do you try to change the current narrative about refugees?
I really try to get the women and children information about their legal status, like where they are and how they reach the right information about their asylum procedure or their next step in their life. After all, working with different organizations and really try hard on this information part, I also realized many places where refugees are to start their life or the camps, it was very gender blind. So but I started Women Refugee Route to ensure that women and girls can receive the right information about their status. But at the same time, it's very important for us. The women can be self-advocator for themselves. That needs include training about how they can advocate for themselves. And this is leads to the way the women can be more active and they can be active in taking participation on their own decision.
Across Afghanistan, women's employment opportunities are limited. In remote areas of the country, women rarely work outside the home because of cultural constraints and the ongoing conflict. Women who do work in rural areas typically find jobs in the public sector as teachers and healthcare professionals. Thanks in part to international support and government programs, women in the western region of Afghanistan are coming together to focus on starting and running successful businesses. Fridoon Puya at the UN mission in the country, UNAMA, has the story.
The empowerment of Afghan women and their increased participation in the country's economic life was at the center of a lively UNAMA-backed debate in Farah province. Some 20 participants, including women rights activists, government officials, business owners and members of the media, gathered in Farah's capital city for the event. Merzia Karimi, a businesswoman in Farah, explained the business environment for women in her province.
In terms of women rule in business and entrepreneurship, women in Farah are mostly involved with anti-craft production. Because the province is remote, there is no easy access to the markets, and the producers end up selling the product to middlemen at a very low price. Also, the existence of a patriarchal environment makes the situation more difficult for women in Farah.
Abdurrahim Esakzai, the mayor of Farah, described plans for a new market in the provincial capital designed to give businesswomen an opportunity to sell their wares.
This is a long-time plan. Finally, we managed to get funds for it. The market is a mixture of a recitation place for women and tens of shops to be run by business women. The market is to be built in the District 1 and 2 of Farah City, and we are aiming to target all women in Farah to come and enjoy in a free-from-men environment.
Participants in the UNAMA debate linked women's economic empowerment to the wider situation of women in the country and the lack of their participation in all aspects of social life. Shahla Abu Bakr, a female member of Farah's provincial council, talked about how women must work with government counterparts to develop business initiatives.
Women in Farah are not actively engaged in the community. They are not being effectively supported with empowerment programs. To change this situation, both the government and women need to work together to focus on developing women's capacity in business. This could be possible with the support of government and proper fundraising measures.
Fridoon Puya, Farah Province, Afghanistan.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.